Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Selection, speed, and creativity are just a few of the benefits of having several designers work on your project. Start your next project at 99designs.com/hack and get a $99 upgrade of services free.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. You are very, very, very awesome for joining me. I do appreciate it. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an avid networker and mobile business strategist, chef, podcaster, and a golfer. He is the co-founder and the director of business development at ChamberDS.com. ChamberDS is a complete app and mobile business agency that turns ideas into profitable app businesses. My guest develops and grows relationships with clients, agencies, and companies, as well as specializing in mobile app strategy consulting. He also hosts the App Academy, a successful podcast with the aim of sharing wisdom from the most successful app business owners on the planet, and which teaches the necessary steps to making more money from the app business. Now, let's hack Jordan Bryant. I'd like to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, 99designs, the best place for new businesses to build their brands. 99designs is the world's largest online marketplace for graphic design with over 900,000 registered designers from all over the world. Here's how it works. You, the customer, completes a design brief. Designers then submit their designs, and you, the customer, choose the design that you like best, and you award it to the winner. It's amazing, right? Why hire one designer when you can have dozens and dozens and dozens of designers competing for your work? Start your contest now to see the amazing ideas designers deliver, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Completed work in 7 days. Your best business investment is now more affordable than ever. Go to 99designs.com/hack to get a $99 upgrade for free to launch your business today. That's 99designs.com/hack for a free $99 upgrade. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another special guest today. Jordan, welcome to the show.
John, thank you so much. I'm pumped to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Jordan, let's jump straight into this.
All right.
Jordan, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
You know, I would say it's the ability to create strategic relationships. 25 years young, and I figured it out a long time ago, life is about relationships. And, you know, if you ask for advice, you'll get money. If you ask for money, you'll get advice. So it's all been about just trying to connect with people and learn what makes them great. And that's typically led to awesome opportunities for me. So,
wow. Where did this come from? Where did this discovery of the fact of relationship? Most people, they're 50 when they realize this.
Yeah. Well, really, I think it comes from my parents, honestly. My parents are very social, very socially outgoing. And my dad was a three-sport athlete in college. And so he's very integrated with the sports community in my hometown, little town, Hood River, out of about an hour out of Portland, Oregon. And so he was my coach growing up because he's so ingrained in the sports community. And so I learned early on how to ask advice and how to be coachable. And so from that, you know, it kind of transitioned over into my entrepreneurial ventures and wanting to know how and why things work. And so actually I started as a pre-med student, just wanting to know how and why things work. And so just the passion for learning forced me to kind of get out of my comfort zone and ask for advice. And it kind of steered me in the directions of mentorship. And I'm a massive proponent of mentorship, like to connect with people who have done it, you know, learn from their mistakes and successes. And so I think that has kind of cultivated my ability to network and create these strategic relationships. And that's just kind of, I think it's really ingrained in me just from my upbringing and kind of how I transitioned through life.
Nice. I like you said you knew from an early age how to be coachable.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that before. We always think like We always have, like, I mean, there's endless stuff out there, books, everything about how to be a better coach. Mm-hmm. But you're, when you said it, it was like, wow, you're probably, most people don't even know how to be coachable.
Uh-huh.
How, so what, is that the ability just to ask, like, not to be shy to ask questions, not to, to not know what you're doing and to be willing to open up to your coach? Is what makes you coachable? I love that. How to be coachable.
Yeah, great question. I've never had anyone ask me that before. You know, I think it comes down to just learning, listening, you know, being able to listen and putting the ego aside, because a lot of people like to know or like to say they know how to do things, and just to be able to be humble and learn, I think is really important to being coachable, being able to put the ego aside. And I mean, one of the biggest things in communication, right, is just listening. And so it's tough for people to listen, even though, yes, you got two ears and one mouth and all that. But yeah, listening is a hard thing to do, because you have to just sit and be patient. And I think that's the biggest piece to being coachable.
Nice. I like it. I like it. All right. So you mentioned pre-med at some point.
Yeah.
So now let's go back. Okay. So there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life, they realize mm-hmm. one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big in the world and a difference, or, as mostly seems to be the case, they find they simply cannot work for somebody else. So somehow pre-med's probably going to fit into this. Mm-hmm. But Jordan, can you take us back and tell us how this happened and which side of the fence you fall on?
Man, you know, I really think I'm on both sides of the fence. Just being an athlete, I'm very competitive. So it's hard for me to listen to authority and, you know, want to just fall in line. But then at the same time with pre-med, I saw the opportunity to make an impact and to help others. And so it was kind of the best of both worlds. I wanted to create my own practices, run my own business of sort for physical therapy, to where I could have the best of both worlds. And as I got into pre-med, I just kind of lost passion for it. It was cool to learn how and why things work, but they kind of put you in this path and you have to conform to the way that the process works in school. And I just saw a long path of it. You know, I got through college, then I had another 8 years to specialize. And I was also learning just the business, because I wanted to do my own thing. And so I was a business minor. And then in minoring in business and taking these business internships, I just started my own business. And when I was 19 years old, I started a paint company from my hometown. My dad's side of the family was deep in the community and just the blue collar industry, really. So it was easy for me to kind of take on that role. And so my first business venture was this paint company. I've never painted a house in my life, and went door to door, knocked on about 1,000 doors before getting my first paint job. And I used these jobs to kind of cash flow the business and learning how I can create from nothing. I literally went door to door with a flyer that I made on Word docs. And, you know, nice. I booked, I know it was awesome. Never painted a house in my life. And
but you could make excellent flyers.
Yeah. The flyer worked great. You know, I learned to communicate and sell myself, and I actually booked about $60,000 before ever touching a paintbrush. And I used that to cash flow the business, hired 25 marketers, 30 painters, and ran a six-figure business. As a 19-year-old, first time ever trying business. And that really showed me value exchange and being able to work with these clients and being able to understand what pain point was and being able to provide a solution. And it showed me that there's ways that I could help people in other areas. Yes, it might not be saving someone's life, but it showed me that there's other ways that I can create value. And that's what kind of got me down the path of entrepreneurship and wanting to make an impact in a bigger way, is understanding that there are other ways to do that, and that I can run my business and be on my own and independent in other ways too. So it was just kind of the mix of my college experience and kind of the different things that I tried to kind of lead me to where I am now.
Yeah. And so I find it interesting. I'm going to repeat this back to you, because mm-hmm. at the beginning, you said that your family was entrenched in, like, the blue collar community. So starting a paint company was really easy for you. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, you said you created a flyer and literally knocked on like 1,000 doors.
Yeah.
Completely not easy. Like, this was not handed to you in any way. Most people would never step up and knock on 100 doors or 10 doors even. And then they would, you know what I mean? So I like how you say that it was easy for you because your family, but then it's like, no, I worked my ass off, man.
Oh yeah.
That's how I did it.
It was not fun. I mean, I had so many doors slammed in my face and you almost have to trick your mind to see it as being something that is rewarding. I mean, there is definitely being able to hold your composure at the door and all the communication experience that you get. So you have to find those positives in these negative experiences. But yes, it definitely was challenging at times and very rewarding. I mean, I can definitely, you know, point a lot of my social skills to the experience of knocking on doors and being rejected over and over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. And what made you not stay in like offline physical business, like painting? What made you want to move online?
Well, yeah, I mean, painting is not sexy at all. So I was trying to get out of that as quick as possible, right? I can't go. So I was 19 at the time. And by the time I got out, I was 21. So it's hard to go to a party and talk to girls and say, yes, I run a paint business. It didn't quite pan out for me. So I took the experience and the success there and tried it in the travel industry. So I took the same model and just tried to translate it over into a different industry. And it was a big failure. You know, I learned a lot there. And so I was just trying my learnings in these different industries. And so I tried travel industry for a little while, tried to create a concierge service, a higher end concierge service, built the whole company from the ground up, did not start with sales this time, and built an awesome brand, built a whole team, learned the legality of starting a business from the ground up, and pretty much built an awesome company without sales. And that's where, that was the biggest learning lesson, because I had so much success in sales with painting that I'd never painted a house in my life, that I attributed all the success to my ability to sell myself. Mm-hmm. And then figured that, hey, that's not a problem. I put that on the back burner. Once I get this company up and going, that's something I can then almost turn on like a light switch. And that was not the case. I did not validate the concept to the level I needed to. And so that was a big learning lesson for me. And then as I got connected with more mentors, speaking to and just networking and understanding where some of the opportunities are just in the world, technology is something that kind of captivated me. And I started pursuing that and started a digital agency that had then pivoted to what is now Chambered Yes. So that's kind of how I kind of was just dabbling while I was still young and had the opportunity to. But now that life is real, it's I've kind of hankered down into what I'm doing now. So
yeah, and excellent. That's a great transition. And I love how you do one thing really well and it goes really well the first time. So you just attribute it to sometimes the wrong things for the success. Like it's this variable. Then you find out later when you try it again, it's like, actually, no, it was probably multiple variables, not just this one specific thing.
Exactly.
And you have to find that by trial and error. That's how it works.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So you have the ability to create strategic relationships and be coachable. So that's like your one thing that you think has been attributed to your success. So now every blog post and expert talks about 80-20. Mm-hmm. Do 20% of the work, get 80% of the result. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Jordan, can you please tell me something that you totally are not good at in business?
Oh, that I'm not good at in business. Man, that's tough. You know, try to focus on the things that you are good at. that I'm not good at in business. You know, I can't do it all. So I would say I'm not very good at production management. I don't want to do that because I love relationships and I love communicating and networking. That's just where I focus all my time. And so I would say, you know, focusing on the finances and the logistics of everything, that's me. I just, it doesn't sound like fun. So I don't do it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm probably not very good at because it doesn't sound like fun. That's one thing that I absolutely delegate every time. I try to get a production manager in place, someone that can take over the running of the company. Yes, as CEO, right? I have to have an understanding of every facet of it. So I do, and seeing how everything works. But as far as getting into the machine and making sure that it operates smoothly, that is something that I do stay away from. So I would say, yes, having the understanding of just how finances play into, or managing the finances playing into the decisions on a day-to-day basis for production is something that I just not good at or have a passion for or ever want to get into.
Just completely keep it away from you.
Exactly.
And so from the paint business to the travel business to Chamber DS, at what point did you finally like realize to yourself, be like, oh, wow, Jordan, yeah, you're terrible at this production side. You really have to get somebody else to do this. Because I find that typically we do these things that we realize after the fact that we're really, really bad at. We don't want to admit it to ourselves at the beginning or sometimes in the middle even. It takes us a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So when was this, like, that you finally decided to put somebody in place to do that for you?
I would say, honestly, probably recently, about 5 months ago. Our company's just been scaling and, you know, can't even keep up. And so it came to the point to where we have 12 guys now and it just became too much to manage. And as we're still growing, it just became, I felt like my life was stressful. You know, I wasn't enjoying the day-to-day and outside of the business. And so it's really just, it was a point of scale, I believe, for us. And there was just, you know, looking at all the projects that we had on the table and where each one of them was and where it had to go and the type of decisions that had to be made. But then, and that was only partial of what I had on the plate. And then I also am managing with our accountant and with our attorney to make sure all this stuff is designed. And I just had so much on the plate that really a lot of the stress was coming from that. So that is the 80-20 rule. That was 20% of what was on my plate that was causing 99% of my anxiety. So I was like, all right, this has got to go. I need to put someone in place now so that I can focus on this other stuff. And this other stuff can be more fulfilling for me. And because I love to learn, these are the areas that I want to learn in. And I could care less if I, you know, learn anything else in this piece. So that's about 5 or 6 months ago. That's when I said, all right, we need to start making moves to have someone that can specialize in this and take this off my plate.
Nice. That's awesome. Very cool. So in there, you also, so huge growth, right? You're up to 12 people and you're pivoting here and there, trying to obviously grow and projects, right? You mentioned projects and where you want to go. I would love to know right now, Jordan, how is it that you decide, and a project is a very loose term, obviously, it can be either the direction of a business or just a new venture you want to go into within it.
Right.
But how do you decide? Is there sort of a process you go through right now to decide whether a project is something you should put the resources into right now or whether it's just a distraction?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, really the market dictates where we go. They kind of push us in the direction. It's kind of how the analogy I like to use. They push us in the way that we need to be going. But yeah, it's really because we deal with so many different projects. So, you know, in the mobile tech industry, that could really be used in any industry. Every company needs some sort of technology advancement, R&D for the future. You know, it used to be if you didn't have a website, your business couldn't be found. Now it's getting to the point where this is the first year that mobile bypassed desktop. So it's getting to the point where if you don't have a mobile presence, you're not going to be found. Everyone, you know, finds businesses through their phone. So it's really, we get so many inquiries from so many different verticals and so many different industries that for us, it's, you know, is a project cool? Because we are trying to transition to be a mobile innovation agency to where we're working on the cutting edge stuff. And with wearable technology, you know, augmented reality, going to be a massive sector. These are kind of the things that fascinate us. So we really just qualify a project to if it's something that is innovative, if it's a cool, unique idea, I guess is the what we look for. So
that's cool. And then when we decide to go into, I mean, is a project cool? That's, that's obviously, I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, that's, I get it because it's lots of it's probably like a gut feeling, right? Or this feels like the right way to go. Mm-hmm. And then what I've realized now is that one of our greatest fears, just like as human beings, but as entrepreneurs, right, is like the fear of being wrong and making a mistake. And so now you are in control of a company with 12 people working behind you. You pay their bills for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a responsibility there. So you decide a project is cool. How do you deal with just being wrong when that cool project actually was something that we should not have gone into? We spent a whole bunch of time, money, and resources on it. And it's a new company. It's growing, right? You can only do so many of these failures before that's it. How do you take that responsibility and not have it sort of sideswipe you for a day or two or a week or a month.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot more qualifying than, hey, is your idea cool or not? We have the way that our process is laid out, it really alleviates a lot of that liability, which is really cool. So we have this initial phase where we work with the client for a period of 2 to 4 weeks to pretty much vet the idea. So one of the value props that we have is market research and concept validation. So we go through this initial period as almost a standalone project to determine what the risk is of the concept. And from there, once we've gone through that period, we're able to then get into the full project. So, and this has just evolved just from what you said, you know, from wanting to avoid some of these massive failures and sinking too many resources into something. And so that is definitely a process that we rely on to do that. But then also to speak to leadership, it's, you have to fail. And so our guys know that. Our guys know that it's hard to learn without failure. Some of the best learnings are within failures. So they trust me to fail in the right way. And I just hope to put the systems and processes in place to make the failures minimal. But yeah, I mean, we definitely rely on process so that it's not a lot of it is from the gut. It's going through a system, checking boxes to make sure that when we enter into something, it's going to be a success.
Excellent. Excellent clarification. I love it. All right, Jordan, we're going to wrap up on something I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap.
Cool.
So as entrepreneurs, you're 25 years old now, so you have a giant long career ahead of you still.
But hope so.
Yeah, but something that we deal with as entrepreneurs is we are always looking and pushing forward. Mm-hmm. So we're setting goals 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years out.
Yeah.
And we're always, when this happens in my business in 6 months, everything will be good. When this happens, and before we even get to those goals, we set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the future. And it's always, I'll be happy, I'll be successful, I'll be this when my business gets there. But we oftentimes fail to like stop, turn around and look at what we have accomplished and what we've come through and what we've learned. So I would love you, Jordan, right now to stop, turn around. Your career hasn't been that long at this point, but you've probably learned a ton and been through a lot. And I would love to just hear what you feel about what it is you have come through at this point.
Wow. That's a deep question, John. Yeah. So, I mean, to speak to goals, I'm a huge proponent of goals and I have systems in place so that I can have these reflective periods on a weekly, bi-monthly, yearly, and I have a 5-year goal as well, periods of time so that we're, you know, none of us lose sight as a team, lose sight of personal goals, career goals, and so forth. So this is something that I think is every entrepreneur should absolutely do is reflect. As far as myself, just reflecting on the ability to learn and making sure that my ego is in check, being that I am an athlete and I'm very competitive, it's really easy for me to just alpha male and just take over and just want to do it my way. And just what I've found in my experience, even though, yes, I am young, I've been in entrepreneurial ventures since I was born, ever since I was born on an emu ranch, my parents' first venture, and just learning. And so really it's what I always reflect on is just keeping myself in check and making sure that I'm listening to everybody, because everyone has something to offer. One thing that, you know, I hold dear, I have tattooed on my body, actually, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Every man that I meet is my superior in some way. And in that, I learn from him. So that just, you know, is in line with just the passion for learning. And so when I reflect and look back, I just make sure that I'm learning from everybody and that everyone has a voice. And so that's really kind of what I hold dear and keep myself in check on.
That's awesome. I love it, man. Well, Jordan, this has been a lot of fun. I do thank you so much for stopping by. And we've got to talk about your business in passing, but could you specifically tell the listener where they can go find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, definitely. So our website, chamberds.com. So that's chamber like a gun chamber, D for development, S for services.com. And actually, I had my team put together a toolkit for your listeners. So it's free.
Oh, nice.
chamberds.com/hack. And what it is it's the 5 things that most people don't know about mobile apps that can help you get started with your first mobile app concept. and how to get started. So, and how to eliminate a lot of costs. So we put that together for you guys. And what we do is our typical client comes to us with just an idea on paper, and we go through market research, help validate the concept, and we have wireframes, and we go through design, development, deploy to the store, support it, and even market it. So we help ideas come to fruition and really create a sustainable, complete app business. So our focus is on results and profit all the way through. So that's typically what we do. We're an end-to-end mobile innovation agency.
I love it. And are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, yes. ChamberDS. You can find us there. Yeah, and I will definitely shoot you some links as well for show notes purposes.
Excellent.
Find me on LinkedIn. I'm all over LinkedIn.
Okay.
LinkedIn/IN/JordanBryant1. You can reach me there through our website, jordan@chamberds.com. Yeah, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to just be a mobile resource for anybody who has questions.
Excellent. So yes, I will link to the chamberds.com/hack. I'll link to their Twitter and their LinkedIn and any other links that Jordan sends me for the show notes. So they're easy for you to find. Reach out to Jordan, ask him any questions you have or have had about apps. Jordan, thank you so much again. I appreciate you taking the time to stop by today. And just please keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's really awesome to watch.
Hey, John. Yeah, thank you so much. And I'll definitely, you know, I want to keep in touch with you. And I have my own podcast. So happy to be a resource for anybody. And I'm excited to, you know, where the entrepreneurship journey is going.
Exactly. Thank you. Jordan, thank you so much for your time and for that really, really interesting and fun and somewhat brilliant conversation. So chamberds.com is his business, but chamberds.com/hack is the special page just for you, Hack the Entrepreneur listener. Please, Jordan has created something very, very cool that he would love for you to have. So please go there, chamberds.com/hack, and it's just for you. So we had this great conversation. It lasted about 25 minutes. And Jordan he really, really, really impressed me. I thought maybe we were going to talk about apps. I don't understand apps. I love playing with apps on my phone, but he understands it as a business. He understands sales and building this business around apps, or just around a market that is willing to pay you money in exchange for the value you've created. Doesn't really matter what the business is. And I love that about Jordan and the way this conversation went. But I had to go back through it. I had six things written down of possible, you know, that thing that he says. But then as I went through, it was the second one. It was the second one that I had marked down. Not the first, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, and not the sixth, but the second one. It's the same one you got? Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
It was not fun. I mean, I had so many doors slammed in my face, and you almost have to trick your mind to see it as being something that is rewarding. I mean, there is definitely being able to hold your composure at the door and all the communication experience that you get. So you have to find those positives in these negative experiences. But yes, it definitely was challenging at times and very rewarding. I mean, I can definitely, you know, point a lot of my social skills to the experience of knocking on doors and being rejected over and over and over again.
And that's the hack. Yes, 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 Jordan. This is, so not all of us, lots of us actually don't feel that we are that good at sales. I love sales. I love the idea of getting somebody to come over to my side of either an argument or me actually physically selling something. I love the discussion and the negotiation that's involved in that transaction. But this goes beyond this. So Jordan knocked on 1,000 doors, and lots of his social skills and just his ability to take failures just from 1,000 people saying no to you in your face and just kind of brushing it off. It's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. This takes a lot of practice. This takes a lot of just hard work and being willing to do that. But it's essential as entrepreneurs that we learn. Maybe you don't want to learn the sales, and maybe you just will stubbornly stay away from it. I strongly advise you to learn some sales, because it is good for you to know. It's not just about the used car salesman in a fancy suit. It's literally I mean, getting your employees to do things, getting your family to agree to things and do things that you want to do. This is all sales. This is all negotiation. These are important things, but it goes beyond that. And I love the whole, because sales, like knocking on doors, it's a numbers game, right? So what's the best way to start a successful business? It's like, we'll start 10 businesses. Not all at once, but that's the idea, right? It takes 10 businesses probably before you will have a successful business. It's just the way it works. Some of these things involve numbers, involve trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and not quitting. That's what sales is door to door. That's what sales is in general. And that's what business is. And so I love this, Jordan, that you have internalized this from a young age and now you are taking it places way beyond knocking on doors and it's leading you to amazing places. And I just hope that you out there will internalize this. Don't get a job necessarily selling door to door because that sounds really terrible, but use this, the fact of just having rejection, having things not work out the way they're supposed to, have things be wrong and have mistakes be made and just be willing to make a ton of them in the process of doing really cool, big, meaningful things. Thank you, Jordan. That was awesome. All right. Thank you very much. This has been great. ChamberDS.com/hack is that special gift just for you. Jordan would love you to have. And please, if you haven't, check out the site, hacktheentrepreneur.com as well. While you're at it, you know, you've probably been there. It looks great. And yeah, we're starting some cool stuff over there. You should try it out. Get on the email list. It'd be great to have you. That gives you direct access to me and my email inbox. From the first email, you can hit reply to anything and it comes straight to me. I'd love to hear from you. But yeah, that's easy to find. Hacktheentrepreneur.com will take you, you'll see the place to put your email in right at the top. It's been fun. I thank you so much for joining me again today. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.